Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our second hour here on Circles of Change. You know what the season that we're in, it's all about education. Wishing our graduates well, helping our students survive final exams, thinking about the future as they maybe move on to a next school. So what a great time then for me to tap in and have Ellie Gaines join us here in the studio. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Let me introduce Ellie. She has served education as an award-winning teacher, successful school principal, national school consultant for a nonprofit educational foundation, obviously a parent volunteer and community volunteer as well. She's a 2004 Arizona recipient of the esteemed Milken Education Award, which is deemed the Oscars of teaching, and she's served in local, state, and national education organizations. Armed with an undergraduate degree and two graduate degrees in education, Ellie has really worked as an educator in public district schools as well as private independent schools over a 30-year period here in Missouri and Arizona. She recently wrote a charter, in fact, to bring public school back to a low-income neighborhood in South Scottsdale, Arizona, which opened in the fall of 2013. Ellie saw an opportunity, though, and a community need for which there really wasn't any service available here in our state. In 2012, she created All Schools Considered. It's a personal school search service, not at the college level, but preschool to grade 12. She's thus become and continue to ride a wave of being a trusted education professional who now works with children and families to find that best school fit. You know, most certainly people know about hiring the college counselor, particularly with so many choices that are out this day and age. And you know what? You're absolutely right. That foundational decision for our children, I mean, this is a gift, education, that no one can ever take away from them if we're so choosing to invest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so the opportunity to go into the pre-K through 12, was this somewhat, is this something I imagine you kind of pro bono were helping others doing that, and then lo and behold, blink, I could garner an income from it?
That's a great question, Zara. You know, actually, I think it really came from years of having been a teacher and a principal and working with families and students and coaching families and students in and out of schools, depending on whether it was the right fit for their child, you know, keeping that focus on the child. And yes, to some extent, it was working with a friend who had called and asked me to assist with trying to find a middle school for her children. And I began doing that just with her as a friend, and then literally woke up one day and I thought, you know what, there is such a huge need for this. There isn't consulting available for families to help them at that preschool through grade 12 level, which is so critical, which eventually, of course, leads to the choices at the higher ed level.
Well, and many times, of course, my children had the benefit of independent schools, and we made the decision to invest so they could and didn't go on big, long vacations. Or, you know, it's a very, very core private decision. One size doesn't fit all, nor does one decision mantra fit all, does it?
Absolutely. No, that's very true. Every child is different. And you know, that is something that I have always kept in the forefront of my mind as an educator and as a parent, but every child is unique. Every child, you know, deserves the opportunity to thrive. And, you know, within one family, you also often hear families saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe how different my children are. And we all are all in the same household. And that's true for education too. And really for meeting the child's needs, looking closely at each child and keeping that focus on each child and what their interests and needs are to find that right fit for them.
Well, it's always interesting because I, of course, work with a lot of families on helping their young person select the right college and then the right career launch. So I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum than you are, but I know my own lived experience with our two amazing kids. And it's always was fascinating to watch how families would put all their attention or will worry about that when it comes to the college decision. And you try to nicely say, but if they don't have the right foundation, how can you go to that point in time? Or those that question are investing X amount of money for tuition for an independent school, but lo and behold, your child ends up getting a substantial funded scholarship based on merit for college.
Right, absolutely. Well, and that's something I talk with families early on about is the importance of the long-term planning for education. Yeah. And, you know, it's not too early to start at preschool. And some families say, oh my gosh, but doesn't that create stress to start talking about college or preschool? And I say, really, actually, it reduces stress if you start at the very beginning and look at how important early education is. And we know that early education is critically important. But if you start with that and do long-term planning around what do you ultimately want your child to have a choice for doing, you know, are they college-bound? And if they're college-bound and career-bound, which everyone's career-bound, so it's in some way, shape, or form. So how do we want to help them get there? And starting at preschool is not too early to think of that path along the way.
And let's be really clear, your coaching also evolves to say to help some families that the track for that child might be towards community college or towards
Absolutely.
A technical functional education, not just necessarily
Absolutely.
University.
Absolutely. I mean, we as parents, obviously our families have our filters on what we hope our children will do and where we think they're going to go. You know, ultimately that is their decision and not ours. So, the important role for us that is to give them every tool possible to have choice around that. And, so, you know, talking about where they start at the preschool level, moving through the grade 12 level, then they have that choice to move on to what's right for them.
I think you said something, though, that maybe not everyone is perhaps wired in the same way as parents. You said because it's their choice to make ultimately. And I think I know my own experiences that more families and youth have gotten off the railroad track because they either didn't know how to embrace that choice for themselves or they weren't allowed for whatever familiar pressure or I need to go become an engineer because my three older brothers and sisters are engineers. Well, let's take us back, though, pre-K.
Sure.
What would a family expect to enjoy if they gave Ellie Gaines a phone call, by the way, and it's allschoolsconsidered.com?
Sure. So, you know, when families call me, they have several choices, actually. They could work with me on a consultation-only basis, which is where they maybe have done a lot of research on their own. You know, certainly you can go to websites, you can go to schools, you can go to school search tools and look up information about schools on their own. But they may get to a point where they say, oh, my gosh, there are three fabulous choices, very overwhelming. How do I discern which is really the best school fit for my child to be successful? And, you know, maybe it's this child in the family versus that child in the family. I don't know for this child what is the best fit for them. I know what I want, but I'm not sure what is the best fit for them. So certainly could work at a consultation level as well with them. But also I work really with the comprehensive school search piece, which is taking it those steps further, which is really getting to know their child well, getting to know the family, their interests, their needs, and then going out and doing a full school search, which means I go out and look at all schools, thus the name, All Schools Considered. Mm-hmm. I look at all schools, district, charter, parochial, private, and depending on the family's interest and needs, and then come back and make 3 to 5 school recommendations to the family. And then work with the family with regards to which of those schools will be the best fit, and we then go on a tour of those schools, review those schools.
And then I suspect because of your legacy of experience and connections and networks, certainly in Phoenix, that then how do you broker the relationship so that all this knowledge you've surfaced can be in the hands of the joint decision between the family and the school.
Sure.
If in the case of it's not being a public school or a charter school.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I do a lot of educating of families as well. I build relationships with schools first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I know school systems well, so I may say out of the gates, I don't know all schools yet, but I know school systems very well. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of education for the family to help them understand what is unique and different about the schools, but also what's similar.
Give us some examples of what's different that you
explain. Sure. So, you know, I might explain, for example, the difference between a district school and a charter school. They're both publicly funded entities. And in Arizona, we are very unique in that we have quite a bit of options in our state. We can families can choose to send their child anywhere they'd like to in Arizona. They're not held within their neighborhood boundaries, so to speak. So that will bring into play, for example, their typical school districts, public charter schools, perhaps parochial or private schools as well. So, with the uniqueness in the state, I help educate them to understand that the biggest differences between the charter and the district schools, for example, the difference between a parochial and a private, and then looking closely at the family's interest and needs and looking long term as well. So, you know, you mentioned the possibility of private schools as well, and certainly, you know, there are resources required for that. Arizona is unique in our funding mechanisms as well. So I educate families on the funding mechanisms that can assist them at both the district and the charter level, but also at the private level in Arizona.
Well, particularly if you've got children that have any special needs in learning disabilities or physical capabilities, that then it's a whole different set of factors that play in.
Sure. Well, in Arizona, you know, some of the funding mechanisms that we have tax credits, which are unique to Arizona, and tax credits can be used to help fund public as well as private education. We also have what I think you're alluding to, too, was the empowerment scholarship accounts, which will help fund special needs education as well. And so families can really choose today where they want their children to go. And I often encourage families to not let their personal financial resources limit them in their choice, that we have a lot of options around that.
Well, the other move that's afoot across the country is a revisiting of this whole conversation of, is it time to return to the model of K through 8 in the same school, as opposed to early education over here, 1 through 5 over here, middle school over here, or junior high? And so that whole distinction of what grades do the splits come, and of course then overlay that the complexity of, do we have bricks on the ground in the schools that are flexible or not? So what are you encountering there? Particularly, I suspect that some students could possibly thrive more in a K through 8, whereas other kids are ready to be at 6, 7, and 8, spooled off to a different interpersonal dynamic challenge with their peers.
Sure. Well, you know, really, I go back again to that keeping the focus on the individual child. And, you know, it isn't always the grade level designation that I'm looking at. It's really looking closely at the interest of the child, the needs of the child with regards to a learning environment. So in Arizona, we certainly, because of the competition in Arizona with regards to many schools are competing for the same students, with our open enrollment policies here in the state, really look closely at the child, because what may be a great environment for that child at the preschool level may not exist yet for them in a K-8 model, for example. So, and I think, too, with the competition in the state, that schools are continuing to reconfigure their grade levels in order to compete with one another. So we don't have the typical preschool to 12 or the preschool or the K to 8 or the K to 6 or the K to 5. It's really a fairly fluid grade level designation now. And as soon as we think we've moved into a particular grade level designation, then that switches again. Schools become competitive and say, well, let's drop it a level or let's go upper level.
Well, I think that it isn't just that, but you've got changing demographics with birth rates and the like. And I mean, that's hard census driven data. And I know, for example, down here in Tucson, it wasn't but 10 years ago, maybe even that much, that we sat there and realized that half of the children in kindergarten were of Hispanic affiliation, half in kindergarten. So when you look at then what's that going to mean when they move into the high school years or junior college or whatever, you got to watch for the demographic element and the shifts in neighborhoods.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, absolutely. And, you know, certainly we want every child to thrive, every child to have that opportunity to thrive.
We're speaking with Ellie Gaines again, and her organization is All Schools Considered. In fact, that is her website, allschoolsconsidered.com. So, Ellie, you're a young, vibrant professional, I will say that, for the two of us. But you made kind of a mid-career shift to step away from that, what I'm sure a more traditional track of being a principal, administrator, superintendent of schools, maybe someday, et cetera. The idea of stepping off now and being an entrepreneur on your own, something you always wanted to do, or was this some divine intervention or other circumstances said this is where you need to go?
That's a great question. You know, I guess I could say honestly that, you know, from way back, I thought I would open my own school someday. Well, you know, I've done that. I wrote a charter, and I wasn't actually an administrator to open that school, but I wrote the charter to get the school open. So, I kind of feel like I did that. You know, really, it came from, you know, I guess it comes from when I look back over the course of my career and realize that I have not always followed the conventional route in education.
No surprise there. Yes.
So, you know, if I think about what has really shaped my career and probably getting to me to where I am today and making this midlife change in my career, would be that I've always followed my gut, for one, on continuing to learn, building my capacity as an educator, and always keeping that focus on the child. So really, when it came to the point where I had been a teacher for many years, I had been a principal, I had written this charter and opened a school, when I began to think what's next, I began to think really what is needed, where is the need, and what is not being filled yet, and what is a service that could be provided for families, and so really it came with that, and then also the lack of conventionalism. I think that, you know, if I had stayed within the box of a typical expectation for an educator and gone down that typical path, I would likely not be where I am today. I have always been one, I think, to step out, learn, look for something new and different, look for something unconventional, look for something innovative, to be creative. But it always comes back to what is in the best interest of children. And, you know, it's so interesting. So when I had the opportunity to think what's next in my life, I have a lot of years ahead of me, and I would like to continue to give back to education and to families and children. That's how this idea was really born.
Well, the other thing I'd tell you is that this isn't an irreversible decision, by the way, because this kind of experience, let's say, throw it out there, you did this type of work for 5 to 10 years, and then you go back and start your own school, or you're attracted back to be a principal at school X, Y, or Z, or serve on the Department of Higher Ed, or of secondary school systems, or early K learning experiences. Just think how much more informed you're going to be having sat in that chair, watching the dynamics between, as an independent, the journey of the decision process for families around that life of that child.
Absolutely. Well, and so you're so right. And, you know, if we look at every experience in our life as an opportunity to grow and to take some directions maybe we didn't think we were going to go.
Take some risks.
Learn, be open, have your eyes open. You know, certainly could take me in many different directions. Right now, I love what I'm doing. I'm finding great satisfaction. I'm working with children and families and schools, which is my passion, and knowing I'm doing some good out there. So right now, I'm great. It'll be interesting to see where I go next.
Yeah, let's see what plays it. Your advice then to others who might be sitting there, you know, in the teaching profession, let's say, because we know that there's our teachers here in our state, they're in a very difficult situation. We aren't necessarily richly funded, to say the least. There's all the pressures about the kids having to test to the test. You know, a lot of things in the teaching profession is not what it was when you grew in that early in your career.
Sure.
Not to say that there aren't great windows of change at play, but perhaps some other people saying, do I have the gumption to take that innate care for the child and shift it in another place?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, I think what I found too, Zara, was that if I, at the times that I began to become frustrated with some of the conventionalism, that, you know, if I would just refocus my energy and look back at why I entered the profession, why I'm there, what good it is that I'm doing, what good I still have to do in the future, not to be done. And even when you feel like you're on the escalator going, you know, going backwards versus up forward, to really take a moment back and step back and think, why am I doing this? And is this something that I love to do, and what am I going to do next? And to be willing to take those risks and look at where you need to grow. What do I need to learn that I don't know yet?
Yeah.
What is it that I need to do to build my capacity to give back?
Which, by the way, since the environment is shifting all the way around us in so many different ways and speeding up, that what worked in the past or what fueled your career even to get you to this point is very different, most likely, for a generation coming up next.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. You chose the title for our segment to be Preschool to Grade 12 Education in Arizona, Reimagining the View from the Outside.
Right, I did. And, you know, I thought about that because I was thinking, what a title for this segment. I had to really stop and think, and I thought, what is it that really is my message? And on this, and my message around the reimaging is similar to reimaging a computer. You know, when we reimage a computer or any other form of technology, we want to leave the hardcore guts in place. But we want to make room for new and fresh and innovative and new ideas and possibilities. And so one of the things that has become very evident for me when I've been out and about the state, and I do work Tucson to Flagstaff, serving families, looking for the best school fit, preschool to grade 12. When I've been out and about visiting schools, and I've visited so many in the last couple of years, really close to hundreds now at this point, is the amazing, outstanding education that is happening in so many schools in our state. And certainly, do we have room for improvement? Absolutely. Will we always have room for improvement? Of course. We always will. We'll never be perfect. There is no perfect state, correct? but one of the things that I've really thought about a lot has been, you know, there's that old cliche saying, saying of it takes a village. Well, in my mind, it takes a state. It takes our state to re-image what I think has become an image that is not necessarily helping us move forward. So one of the things that has become very evident is the immediate the image that we have that our state does not have a solid ground for education, does not offer wonderful school options, does not offer outstanding education, and we do offer all of that. So the re-imaging piece comes in from the standpoint that we need to re-image from the outside, but also from the inside. And so, for example, educators, if we can look at all the good is happening and stop focusing on the negative, because we are what we think, say, and do, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to focus on the positive that's happening and reinforce the positive that's happening and look at the good and look at where that has happening in many different venues. So many different types of schools. And let's look at all the good that's happening. But also, for those of us that are not in schools on a regular basis, anyone out and about in the business world, in the political world, families, any organization that too often we hear negative about education in Arizona. And I would like to challenge everyone to say, well, let's re-image by every negative that you hear offering two positives. And let's come back and let's re-image how we think about education in our state. Let's find the good, because really it does us a disservice to not do that.
Well, and what it is you're trying to take two steps forward, where you've got a wave of negativity grounding you. And, of course, this all goes straight to economic development and our desire to attract new companies and grow the companies we have here, or attract talent, or even keep the talent that has moved here or grown up here to not leave. That core to that capability is your foundation of education, and that is absolutely early learning experiences, pre-K through 12, and then, of course, the focus in higher education.
Absolutely, and let's not limit ourselves in thinking we just have a small group of options, of school options for families. We have, if we really look at the right fit for a child, which is what All Schools Considered is all about, mm-hmm. We have the right fit for every child in this state. It may not be a first choice, but it's a right fit,
that's something that we need to really
keep in mind.
And so tell me the attributes. When you say the right fit for the child, is there a list of 10 things that you look for, or 3 things, or...
So that's a great question. So I can't give you a list per se. Sure. Certainly, first of all, I have to meet the child first, or I can't find the best school fit. But what I will say is I look at many different factors. I look at academic-related mm-hmm. factors. I look at physical structures of how we survive. Some children love to work at a desk. Others would rather be at a table. Something as simple as that. Mm-hmm. I also look at social-emotional factors. So what are things we really need to consider that are the environment that child will thrive in? So one thing that has been very clear to me, too, is just like every child is unique, every school has a school culture
and a personality
that is very unique. So every school can be wonderful, but is it the right fit for every child? Maybe not. So we have schools fill niches. Every school fills a niche. Every school has its signature program. Every school has its focus. It may not be the right fit for every child. So let's help the child find that right fit, and we look at all of those pieces.
Well, what I think is going to influence here, too, is that can the school articulate who they are and what they're all about, too.
I think that is
a challenge.
Absolutely, Zara. And that's one of the feedbacks. So that leads me to something real quickly, too, that, I give back to schools. So families are certainly my clients. But I give back to schools in helping them see what's unique about them and helping them find their strengths
and
as
how they can market that or position
Absolutely.
In their own vernacular and
Absolutely.
As they look to attract then the right best fit. Well, there's nothing harder, I imagine, too, though, to have to convey to a student, or the student realize, this might not be the right fit for me. But sooner you find that out before you start or make that leap of faith into it. Well, Ellie Gaines, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Zara.
AllSchoolsConsidered.com. How could people contact you then?
Sure, they can find me on my my website, AllSchoolsConsidered.com, or find us by Facebook, Pinterest, or LinkedIn, and Twitter.
All right.
Thank you.
And social media, of course, to attract that next generation coming up. Thanks for joining us,
Ellie. Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.